And welcome to Taoiseach Simon Harris, who joins us here at the Tullamore Court Hotel, where Fine Gael are having a two-day think-in ahead of the new Dáil term and ahead of Budget 25, which will be the last budget before the general election, whether that's in November or next February and March. And Taoiseach, your words are being parsed, whatever you say about the timing of a general election. So the latest is you've said it'll go full term, but you wouldn't confirm that full term means 2025. Does full term mean an election in 2025, full stop?
Well, good morning, Áine, and thank you for being here in Tullamore at our thinking. And it's great that these questions about the election come earlier every day, so I'm delighted to be asked it on Morning Ireland.
Yes,
the position
no?
is very clear. When I became the leader of Fine Gael, I was asked by the other two party leaders, would I commit to this government running the full term? And I said, yes, I would. I am conscious of the full term of the government and when that runs to. My position hasn't
when
changed.
When is that? What number is that?
The government is elected to serve in office until the 22nd of March 2025. That's the date that by which there must be an election. I want the government to go full term. I've said that. I haven't changed my position.
And that means going until that date.
I'm also very conscious of this fact.
Does that mean going until that date?
Full term means going full term. I don't think there's been any government that's actually gone until the very final day of a mandate. But I want the government to continue in office for full term. But I think, look,
there could be a couple of weeks or months here or
there. There's also another point to make, too. I think the government is working well together. It's a coalition government of three parties. And I want the government to also end well. I want this government to serve its full term. And therefore, unless the other party leaders have changed their minds, and they haven't given me any indication that they have, I do intend for the government to go full term.
Let's talk about childcare and your plan for a public childcare system. Mm. Is it a vague election plan? I mean, if a baby's being born today, how soon would it benefit from your public childcare plan?
So firstly, babies being born today are already benefiting from what we're doing. We live in a country now where every child gets two free preschool years.
Provided through the private sector.
Yes, but funded by the state. And we also have very significantly reduced childcare costs. And I must say, Roderick O'Gorman has done great work on this, and I'm proud of the work he's done on this. The purpose of thinking, though, is always to come up with what next. And I got involved in politics to talk about big ideas. And I really want to have a big conversation with the people of this country, okay, kicking off tomorrow, about how we can deliver a public childcare model. I believe this can be transformational. We did it with primary education. We did it with secondary education. We need big ideas when it comes to our children. What I'm giving a commitment to is that this will be a priority in the Fine Gael manifesto, be fully costed in the Fine Gael manifesto. And if Fine Gael is in the next government, within the first 100 days, we will publish a roadmap as to how you deliver this system in full by 2030.
Okay, so you say it's specifics. On the other hand, if you really want to help children, there's something you could do at a stroke of the pen in this budget. Last year, we had a report from the ESRI, which was backed by the Commission on Taxation, the National Economic and Social Council, and the Children's Rights Alliance. So at the stroke of a pen, if you want to take 40,000 children out of child poverty, all you need to do is bring in a second rate of child's benefit that's means tested. That would target the money where it's needed most, will you?
So I'm not going to get into any specific budget measures today, other than to say when I leave Tullamore today and go back to my office, I'm meeting the child poverty team in my department. I want to have specific measures to bridge the gap in relation to children doing well and children who are not doing well financially.
Which means targeting rather than spreading it around to everybody, which is very electorally popular.
No, I wanted to make that point. I believe valuing every child is important, and in the points I'm making around education and childcare, universal is important. I'm absolutely acutely aware, though, if we want to tackle child poverty, that will require a series of targeted measures that direct our resources at the children most in need.
Including,
and I'm actively working on
a child benefit rate.
I'm not going to roll that in right today. What I am saying, though, is in this budget, there will be a package of targeted measures for children most at need. We're a wealthy country. There's still far too many children living in child poverty, and it's a priority for me to make progress on this.
You mentioned Roderick O'Gorman and what's happened in childcare. Fianna Fáil say, for their part, they've changed the momentum on housing. So what's Fine Gael's USP in the budget going to be?
Well, I think, look, every party will point to different things they can do in different departments and the likes. But the reality is, we know the parameters of the budget. There'll be about 1.8 billion in additional spending, about 1.4 billion in additional tax measures. We want to make sure the budget has a focus on carers, on people with a disability, on pensioners. We want to see measures to specifically support our small and medium enterprises, small businesses around this country who have seen their cost base significantly increase. And we also, crucially, have to make sure this is a housing budget too. issue. Housing remains the biggest social and economic challenge our country faces, and making sure there's more homes and more home ownership, including keeping supports in place and helping our renters, have to be priorities in the budget.
Okay, and on housing, you seem to be betting on more of the Help to Buy scheme, more tax breaks for renters, that's going to work for Fine Gael versus Sinn Féin's 300,000 affordable home plan.
So look, I'm not going to use the time available to me to critique the Sinn Féin plan. It wouldn't take me terribly long, though, and I look forward to doing that in the election. There's a lot of unanswered questions in relation to how you'd own the home, who qualifies. The package of supports that Fine Gael and the government have in place for first-time buyers would significantly outweigh the package of supports that Sinn Féin would offer.
Except what one of your big issues seems to be that, you know, that the person who owned the house wouldn't own the land, and there would be terms and conditions attaching to the resale. I'm just wondering, though, if your generation rent, I mean, in your 30s, earning good money, and you're still stuck in mammy's and daddy's box room, do you really care who owns the land? Because you can't afford an awful lot of the housing that is actually available, the little there is at the moment.
No, I think
would it make any difference to them? Surely Sinn Féin's a better bet there.
No, not at all, because I think what you do care about, if you're the person living in the box room or the parent has an adult child living in the box room, is what party or series of parties in government are going to provide you with the greatest assistance to buy your own home. And it is factually correct that the Help to Buy scheme, coupled with the First Home scheme, provides a lot more financial assistance, up to €100,000, compared to a measly stamp duty change that Sinn Féin would make.
Right, so I'm absolutely rise all the time, and affordability gap becomes wider and wider.
Well, let's not conflate two issues, so I'll deal with that. But you asked me specifically around the range of supports, and I'm very confident that in the next election, when my party presents its offering to first-time buyers, people will see that it is a better offering than the offering of Sinn Féin. In relation to housing, though, the key issue here is supply. The key issue is building more homes. When my party came to government in 2011, fewer than 7,000 homes were built that year. This year, we will see 40,000 homes built. We will sit down as a government this year and set out new housing targets where we can credibly show people how we can get to at least 50,000 more homes each year between now and 2030. That's where we need to be. What we don't need to do is start coming up with some convoluted new plans. We actually need to dig in here now in terms of lifting the scale of ambition around housing supply. That is the absolute key. And there are encouraging signs in terms of housing supply.
And that will be a decision the voters obviously will make in the budget when they see in the election, when they see the respective plans. Fine Gael also talks about being the party of small business. Employers across the country, they're saying rising wages, new sick pay entitlements, auto enrolment pensions, it's all costing them. So are you ruling out another increase in the minimum wage in the lifetime of this government, or if Fine Gael is back in power next year?
No, I'm not. We have a low pay.
So employers could have to pay another increase in the minimum wage this year, next year?
If you just let me address the issues, because they're separate and linked. We have a low pay commission, and it's important we protect workers in this country, and it's important we protect the lowest paid workers in this country. What's frustrating employers, quite frankly, and I've met a lot of them around the country in the last number of weeks, is that all of the new costs fall directly to them. And what government must now do is look at how we can assist small and medium businesses with their cost base. We shouldn't have straw man arguments of you're on the side of the workers or you're on the side of business. It makes sense for businesses to have their employees supported, have their employees in a decent wage. What is worrying employers is you go into the cafe, you go into the restaurant, and I say, God, it looks busy in here. And they say, it is, Simon. But when you look at the bottom line, I'm struggling to make ends meet
every
week.
And they say your government has been driving up their costs. So if you say a minimum, if you do get a recommendation and it's believed to be, takes it over €13, I think is the recommendation. So if you do get that and that goes ahead, what are you talking about? More tax breaks for employers?
No, I'm talking about a number of measures that we will put in place in the budget to support small and medium enterprises with the cost base that they're experiencing in Ireland. We've already seen a number, even in the time since I became Taoiseach. We've provided a new cost of business grant. We've provided new energy efficiency grants under Peter Burke's leadership as Minister for Enterprise to try and help businesses with the cost of energy and with the cost of doing business. We will continue to do that, and the budget in less than 3 weeks' time now will be a pro-business budget. Mm-hmm. But what I don't want to do in Ireland is get into this politics of division. You know, will you back the worker, will you back the business? What we have to do here is back Ireland and make sure we have a sustainable economy, we're at full employment, and that we support businesses who are the lifeblood of our economy and main streets across Ireland.
Fine Gael also likes to present itself, and you've been talking about this again this weekend, as the party of law and order. But the Garda numbers, they stand at just over 14,000 at the moment. That's fewer than at the start of last year. It's well short of the 15,000 target. And Drew Harris, the Garda Commissioner, says says he actually needs 18,000 Gardaí to have enough to meet the population, and we see the strains on policing and the demands right across the country. So law and order, but you can't deliver because you don't have enough Gardaí.
Well, look, I mean, there's a huge body of work going on to significantly recruit Gardaí at the moment. We've taken a number of decisions with Minister Helen McEntee leading on this. Only in the last few weeks, we've seen an increase in the Garda retirement age. There are Gardaí who want to continue to serve as guards at a time we need more guards who are being forced to retire. We fixed that in increasing the retirement
just
age.
Just on that very quickly, sure. Because there is a problem with recruitment into top positions in the Garda Síochána Síochána. This is the pension pot tax problem. Is that going to be fixed in the budget?
Yeah, we're looking at a way of, way of resolving that, and I expect we can make progress on it shortly.
Within weeks.
I hope so, and we've already, I must say, seen a number of people actually apply for those top level positions in the Gardaí, which is encouraging. But we've increased the retirement age, we've increased the age at which you can enter a guard. Now again, that was bizarre. You couldn't enter the Gardaí at a relatively young age. We fixed that too. We now see Templemore full. We're seeing a class come out of Templemore every 12 weeks, and we're seeing measures being taken by the minister in terms of increasing the Garda training allowance very significantly.
Just a drop in the ocean, says the GRA, and no matter what you're doing, again, demand is higher. Okay. So like housing, it's not enough.
Representative bodies have a job to do, so too does government. And the job of government is every day you come to work to say, what more can we do in this space? I'm very confident that we have taken a number of measures in recent weeks to help with Garda recruitment and Garda retention, and we will take more. We're back now at a period of recruiting Gardaí, filling Templemore. That Garda college had to close not just once but twice because of the global pandemic. That had a real impact. At a time of full employment now, many people are putting up their hands and saying, I want to be a guard, and we're going to support the Gardaí, including, I think, a real issue around the Gardaí is them wanting to feel safe too. And the attacks Gardaí have been under and the likes, we need to call
which
this
makes
out.
Filling those top jobs and leadership and that's in why the Garda Síochána even more important, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Leadership is very important, and also our body cams, and that's the point I was about to make. That's why we're also rolling out body cams to get them on all our Gardaí right across the country to keep them safe.
It's a pilot scheme, isn't it?
We've started in Dublin, Waterford and Limerick, and I want to see that go well and roll out across the country, because it's another practical measure we can take, I think, that helps with retention and helps keep the Gardaí and the public safe.
Okay. There's been a lot of discussion about the Apple tax judgment, of course, this week, and the 14 billion that's coming your way, even though the government argued that it wasn't due to be collected. Sinn Féin say you're a government that can't deliver a children's hospital on budget. You can't explain a 300,000 Leinster House bike shed. You've got record housing and health waiting lists. And bizarrely, you're going back Apple, not paying this state 14 billion in taxes. I mean, that hardly smacks of fiscal rectitude.
Well, you would expect Sinn Féin to say that, and sometime at a longer conversation, perhaps I could put my retort as to why Sinn Féin are bad for this country. But let's talk about Apple rather than trading pot shots, because the reality is this.
Well, now, hang on. The government did take a particular line, and the judgment has gone against you, and now you've got 14 billion. Apparently, you thought we didn't want.
But you gave a nice little run out there to Sinn Féin charges, so give me one moment to just respond to them. The situation is this. Any responsible government would stand by the independence of its tax system and its revenue system. They would. 6,000 people in Ireland are employed by Apple today. Hundreds of thousands of people are going to work in multinational companies the length and breadth of this country. And actually standing by multinationals and tax policy is an important thing. But let your listeners also know this. This is a historical legacy case that relates to tax rulings of the 1990s. I'm much more concerned about the Ireland of the 2020s. So we now
well,
have
it relates
finality.
To a government, and you've been part of that government. I'll tell you what, let's talk about the future. Let's talk about how that money gets spent.
That's what I'd like to talk about.
What does it get spent on?
We now have finality in relation to this. So what do we know, and what do we know, and what do we need to work through? We don't currently have the money. It'll take a number of months for it to come in to government exchequer coffers.
How much of that, by the way, is ours? How much goes to other country? And will the EU let us kind of, will they be telling us what to do with it, or saying rock ahead?
So at the moment, there aren't any other claims that I'm aware of on the money. And I think there's over 14 billion in the account, and that will transfer to the exchequer. We cannot be spent on day-to-day. So it can't, for example, just to give an example, you can't put it in the state pension, because the reason is this: you want to get this money once. But there are both options and opportunities as to what we can do with it. And I think we can have a really informed discussion about how we can address some of the pressing infrastructural challenges, capital challenges and housing challenges that we face. I think if something good could come from this, that we could see increased investment in public infrastructure and housing, this would be a good thing.
Things like the Shannon pipeline, the metro?
These sort of things, I don't want to get into specific projects, because I do want government to make a considered and informed decision on this. But But there's an opportunity here. This is a situation now where we do have finality. We will have about 14 billion, and there are exciting opportunities as to how we can invest that in infrastructure for future generations. And I do think, I've said this consistently over the summer before we knew about the Apple judgment, when it comes to things like housing, water and energy, we've real constraints in this country and we need to invest more.
And indeed, on energy, the Draghi report was pointing those out, but we won't go into that now. There's a couple of other things I want to touch on with you before you leave us, Taoiseach. Immigration. Will international protection seekers in this country be asked to make a payment towards accommodation and services, and by when?
The government hasn't made a decision on that, but I believe they should have to if you're earning an income. So let's bear in mind there's people in this country who come here and seek international protection who do have a right to work. And by the way, we're very pleased they do work, and I thank them for the contribution they make to the Irish economy. I do think it's fair, though, that if you're working and earning an income, that you make some contribution towards the services the state is providing. Government needs to make a decision on this as a collective. We have had a number of reviews and works being done. We've taken a number of decisions in recent weeks and months to try and make sure our immigration system is fair. Irish people, I think, want two things when it comes to migration: compassion and common sense. And I think we need to look at this through that lens. And I hope we can make a decision on this within a few short weeks.
And so this would be happening by the end of the year?
I can't make the government decision unilaterally. I want to talk to partners and colleagues. But I do think there is sense in people who are earning an income paying some contribution.
David Ryan was talking to Alva Keneally earlier in the programme, and of course remembering his late brother Mark. He wants a state apology from you. But also, I mean, have you wrapped your head around the scale of this and the scale of the redress? Will you be able to deliver to the victims and those who haven't come forward yet? Because you saw what happened after the mother and baby home report. You saw the disappointment. Can you be sure the state won't be letting people down again?
So what this report has done, Áine, is it has unleashed a national trauma. And I think that's being absolutely crystal clear in the conversations that are being had in kitchens, in workplaces, indeed on Liveline, in recent days and weeks. A national trauma is an appropriate description of what our country is going through right now. And I want to thank the survivors. I want to thank David and think of his brother Mark for their courage in coming forward. We have this deep, painful wound now. And I use wound rather than scar because it's an open wound. It's hurting today. We have peoples whose pasts were destroyed and it has resulted in their futures being put on hold. And we have seen the most egregious, that's even too weak a word, breach of trust, responsibility and authority, and it was endemic. So every time we see a report, Ryan, Cloyne, Murphy, mother and baby, we get a further insight into this cruelty that existed in our country, and a cruelty that so many people must have known about. So I'm very clear in my mind. Of course, there's going to be a need for apology and atonement, but there's also a need to get the structure right here. And I'm really trying to dig deep on working with colleagues on this, and Minister Norma Foley is doing an excellent job on this and in working with the survivors. We have to get this structure right, because what we don't want is another process that goes on for years and years and years and years and years and doesn't give people answers. So first priority is to get the process right.
And then there will be the state apology.
Well, I can't see a scenario where there isn't a state apology. And I want to say today as Taoiseach, I am so sorry, and I feel such a deep sense of sorrow, hurt, anger and disgust, and we will get this right.
Two more quick questions. You said you expect the orders who were involved to behave like Christians. If they haven't cut the cash, will you compulsorily purchase their assets?
I rule nothing out, and we shouldn't rule anything out. I said yesterday and I say today, I don't want to use adversarial language. I want people to finally, for once and for all, do the right thing. I want people who, as I say, speak Christianity to practice it. But we can rule nothing out at this stage.
And very briefly, huge welcome across the board for the Finucane inquiry that was announced yesterday. It's just, in the midst of all that welcoming, given what we saw with the steak knife inquiry and the Canova report, and it goes on for years and years, and all the answers are there, except suddenly it turns out afterwards MI5 didn't open up all the files. So how can you avoid a repeat of that happening again?
So firstly, I'm delighted for the Finucane family. It's a vindication of Geraldine and her family and 35 and a half years of campaigning that never should have had to go on for so long. What I can say is this: when I met Keir Starmer in July in Chequers and raised this with him, when I spoke to him in Farmley about this last Saturday, we do have a different approach from the British government. We have a British government that I believe wants to get this right. I think this augurs well for broader and bigger and deeper conversations we're going to have on legacy. But I do accept that yesterday was a very welcome development, but just a first step. And the family need to continue to be worked with and supported and listened to. And we need to absolutely get this right. But I do believe, for the first time in a long time, we have interlocutors in the UK that do want to get this right.
Taoiseach Simon Harris, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us here on Morning Ireland.